Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me, blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale, like I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke.
You are a real artist.
I am a real artist.
Was written. And you know what? You know what? Cause I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that He gave me, and He wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Ditko. AJ Ditko, 3 times. And I'm big to them. I don't do no physical harm to them. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all.
Yeah. See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl. The one you heard about. You fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron Hill, who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything. And, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music is.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening. Good evening. This is A-T-A-Z-P live on Blog Talk Radio, your host, T-A-Z. On the line, I got Marcia Majet. Is that the correct pronunciation?
It's Majet. It's French. Marcia Majet.
Oh, Majet. Oh.
Yeah, it's French.
I got. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Growing up in a family of musicians, Marcia Merger.
Mm-hmm.
Musical heritage began performing extensively throughout the Midwest with her family. So
yeah.
Everybody in your family is into music. Explain
yes.
that.
Still, you know, my father was a jazz pianist and a jazz arranger. My mother was a classical pianist and a jazz singer and a drummer. And then I have three other sisters. We sang together four-part harmony jazz arrangements that were written by my father, sort of in the style of the Hilos or Take Six, in that style. And we
okay.
performed all kinds of jazz and religious music, too.
Cool, cool. So I'm going to tell you, when I was surfing through Facebook, and I don't know how it happened, because you know how you get connected with one person and then you go to the next person, you look down the list and hit another. And I ran into your page, then I went to your site and listened to the music, and I was like, I heard about, I guess about 10 notes, so I was like, hey, I've got to get her on
the show. Thank you.
I don't know what I was listening to, because I skipped through and I listened, and I was like, I'm feeling it. I'm really feeling it. So,
you really got
a funky, smooth, soulful sound. Has anybody else told you that? I'm sure they have.
Well, you know, I have a music school here in Northern California, and one of the things that we work on with all our students is to try to create an identifiable sound, something that would distinguish each student so that we'd know who they were. If we closed our eyes and listened to them, we'd know who they were. And because of the variety of styles that I grew up with, I think that it's just a culmination of all those different influences, gospel, blues, jazz, classical. And I've always strived to have an identifiable sound. But I do think that if you don't study the blues, you ain't got nothing. I tell my students that blues is to jazz as pasta is to Italian food. It's always in there.
Right. Good analogy.
You know,
good
and
analogy.
I think that's very important.
Okay, so I get when you send me the CD and I seen Majay, and it was Mijay, M-E-E-J, and I'm like,
right,
that's
the closest thing we could do.
I got it now.
Yeah, it's the closest
cool.
thing we could do to try to, you know, explain to people how to pronounce it, M-E-E-J, Mijay, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was cool, though, because I've seen a couple of projects you had with the name on it like that. I was like, maybe I should call it that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know.
Yeah, well, either way, Marcia Majay, whatever, that's good.
I want to get these four songs in because
okay.
we do, like I said, we do an hour show, and I want to get the four in. And, we discussed them right before you came on. I want to play the long one, though. It's third person. The one that I heard on your Discovery CD?
The third song on Discovery is Go For It. Is that the one you mean?
Well, it was the
third song
first,
or the first? The very first song.
The first song. The very
yeah,
first
that
song.
Yeah, that is a song representative of some of the most amazing musicians that I worked with here in the Bay Area who are known as Latin jazz musicians. And I met Wayne Wallace, who's an amazing trombonist and Latin jazz arranger, and he had a group called Wayne Wallace Rhythm and Rhyme, and I joined their group, and then I used a lot of their people to create this cha-cha-cha. That's what that is. And one of the other pianists on the on this song is Rebecca Molyon, who has written several books on Latin jazz and Latin percussion. But all these people are some of my favorite Latin jazz artists in the Bay Area.
That's cool. This is Marsha Majay. Thank you.
Second piano part, I sang on along with the flute solo, and I arranged all the horns. So, yeah, it was a process and a beautiful process. Really, recording that music was really a dream come true because I had such high regard for those people. All the people who played on that track, I thought were amazing musicians. John Santos on percussion. All those guys are just amazing. So it was an honor for me to do it, and we had a ball.
It sounds like it, because I see this is my first time actually hearing it all the way through. Like I told you, I heard a little bit, and I said, I like that. And then I went through the whole album, but I was like, I feel like that, I like that. And that's why I played it. But this is my first time hearing it all the way through. I was like, oh, man. And I was jamming the whole time, yeah. I like that.
I haven't heard it in a long time, so I just love that cha-cha groove, you know?
Right,
cha-cha-cha. I mean, I could just see people, doing
people
the
dancing.
Cha-cha, too, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for picking that one.
I loved it, and after I heard it all the way through, I'm even, like, more like, oh, man, I like this song. So... The different instruments that you do play, name them.
So. Oh, well, I started out playing piano, and I have both, a classical and a jazz background in piano, and then I moved to singing with my family, and then in third grade I started the saxophone, and then in fifth grade the flute. So I play all those instruments on that track. People always ask me, they always say, well, which one do you like the best? And I say, well, it depends on the song,
Right. And like, I mean, how do you know it depends on one song? I mean, how do you know what you're going to play on that song? I just want to get into your head on the musical process.
Yeah, I mean, something like Misty, you'd want to play on alto sax because it just sounds so great, but... something like Girl from Ipanema sounds great on flute, So I think each instrument has songs that are characteristically beautiful for that instrument. So I can't choose a favorite one.
Okay. I understand. Now, what is your, I know you got a favorite genre, right? That you like to play, or you just love them all the same?
A favorite genre?
Yeah.
You mean style of music? That's what you mean?
Right.
Well, right now
I've been focusing
on smooth jazz with Chris Davis, who the last three singles that I've done, because I've known Chris for 30 years. We go back to the Midwest. We used to play together in different jazz groups, and I played with him at Morningstar Baptist Church with the gospel choir. He was organist. And so we have, a lot of connections way back when, and I hadn't talked to him in many years, and called him up one day and said, hey, let's try to do these singles. And, he lives on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, so we did most of this just back and forth email, sending tracks back and forth.
Now, I see in your bio it said you was an on-call studio artist. Is that
right? Yeah, I do a lot of studio work here. Yeah, and all different kinds of music. I've done music for all different kinds of styles here.
Right.
And I also do horn arrangements for people, and I just finished producing Jorge Santana's record that will be coming out. I don't know if you know, but he passed away a few weeks ago.
Nice.
And I helped him produce. I played most of the parts on this production called Restoration. I play saxophones, flutes, pianos, and all auxiliary instruments on that project. And he passed away 2 weeks ago. And so we're getting ready to release that soon. Yeah. It was a surprise to all of us, but the association with him was quite amazing and fun, and we wrote several songs together, and that will be released probably in the next month.
And that would be on your project or the one that you did for him?
Yeah, it's called Jorge Santana Restoration.
Okay.
And
hit me up on Facebook and let me know when it does for me.
I will, yeah, I will do that. And then, of course, the other thing that's coming up is that Chris Davis and I did a whole CD together that will be released. I'm trying to still determine the time because of the lockdown and everything that's been going on.
Right.
I'm holding off a little bit longer, so I'm hoping to release that before the end of the year. So I will certainly let you know about that, and that's called iVision.
Now, during this lockdown, have you found it more better to create with the time that you have?
Well, I tell you, during the lockdown, my life changed only in the sense that, you know, I have a full-time nonprofit music school here. And I was, of course, meeting everybody in my studio, so I transitioned to teaching all my students online. So my life only changed in the sense that I wasn't able to see those kids, but I still feel like all the children in the world right now need to have as much support, and because what's going on right now is scary for a lot of kids, and it's really important to keep help them to feel good and help them to build good self-concept. And a lot of what has happened is because the students are home all the time, I've found that many of them practiced more than they did when they were all busy running from school to sports and all that. So it's been a really fun process to work with them in that way. The only thing I miss about it is I usually play live with most of my students, and that was the part that was the hardest for me to adjust to.
Right, right.
You know, I love playing with them. And that's how I learned from my teachers, is they played music with me. The people that I've learned the most from are the people who played with me and had that interchange, you know, had that exchange of musical communication, you know.
Now, on the instruments you do know, did you go through the same process having a music teacher, like you said?
Yes. My parents taught me up to a certain period. I started studying saxophone and flute in my early elementary years, but they had to drive me 100 miles one way to St. Louis to take lessons for my saxophone and flute. And then later on, I studied at Washington University when I was in high school for my piano studies. So every week we all packed up in the car on Wednesdays and we drove 100 miles one way to take music lessons. Yeah, they were completely devoted and committed to our music study. And actually, most of my jazz learning was from my father and mother. So all the lessons were more based on classical training.
Well, 100 miles to get there is dedication, for real.
Yeah, for real, I mean, I'm telling you. And they are such beautiful people. And then, I have a daughter and a son, Jermaine Brown has several records out. Jermaine Brown, Transcendence. He's with Motema Records. He's a drummer and a composer in New York. And then I have a daughter who sings gospel music, and she's right here in Northern California.
Wow.
So the tradition continues.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
That's good. Song Dock of the Bay, I guess it's the Otis Redding track. Am I correct?
Okay. Dock of the Bay.
Explain it on how you decided you wanted to, you know.
Okay, sure.
It.
Well, one of the reasons why we released the Dock of the Bay was because we were celebrating the 50th anniversary, which was in 2018, of the song. And I had the opportunity to play with Lester Chambers and Stephen Cropper, who wrote and produced Otis Redding's song, Dock of the Bay. And we played at Yoshi's maybe a year before that. And I was so excited to meet Stephen Cropper, especially because he also grew up in Missouri and not far from where I grew up. And he was just such an amazing man, and he did so much for music with Stax Records. And then, of course, playing with Lester Chambers of the Chambers Brothers was a dream come true for many years. I've played with him for about 6-7 years. And everything he did, I thought, was amazing. Not only is he a great singer, but he also plays incredible harmonica. So we released this Dock of the Bay because I love the song. And Chris said to me, what do you want to do? And I said, Dock of the Bay. And so he just said, Chris Davis said, well, jazz it up, Marcia, just jazz it up.
that's what I call confidence. Just jazz it up. This is Dock of the Bay.
Dock of the Bay.
Right. Right.
Thank you. You're listening to another TAZ production live and recorded live. I am G. Wright, host of the Heart of Love radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Visit me there, blogtalkradio.com/G. Wright, and then check me out on myspace.com/G. Wright Sing. And then visit my official website at gwrightonline.com. Again, you know what? You're listening to another TAZ production, live and recorded live.
I love that song. Like I said, I don't listen to it, and you jazzed it up, for real, for real.
Oh, you know, when I hear that, you know, I kind of get these feelings. Like sometimes I'm in the jazz zone, sometimes I'm in the gospel zone, sometimes I'm in the blues zone.
I tell you what, that was... I loved it too. I was like, oh yeah, I like that. That was swinging. So
thank you.
I'm so glad, and I'm so glad I'm pleasantly surprised by these tracks. Cause I, like I said, I didn't listen to but a little bit, cause I don't want to spoil it for me on the night of the show. So I listened to it now, and man, that was really bad. I got a question. When you compose or you decide to do a song, is there a process that you go through?
It's a great question. You know, I'm teaching a songwriting class right now to several of my students, but first I want to answer that by saying that teaching songwriting to kids or to anyone is a mysterious process in the sense that songwriting really is you're guided by the higher spirit. And I really do think music comes through the higher spirit first. But there are some elements of music writing that I think are important, and there's three different ways that I look at it. Then when you write a good melody, the melody should be a dance between predictability and surprise. So in other words, when the listener is listening, the listener needs to be able to follow a path. So the listener is thinking, oh, I knew he was going to do that. And then all of a sudden, there's a surprise, and the listener goes, oh, I didn't know he was going to do that. So it's like this dance of knowing what the player is going to do and not knowing. And it's just that back and forth predictability to surprise that I think is very effective. So sometimes I will write a good melody without any chords or anything, just with that in mind. Another way that you can write is to write the grooves first, to come up with the grooves and the chord progressions. And in that regard, I look at it as tension and release. There are some chords that are what we call tension chords that create a movement, and then we land on other chords. So sometimes I will write a song and write the groove and the beat first and then the melody. And then the third way would be write a good lyric and then create a melody and the chords behind the good lyric. And all three of those ways can be done, or they can be done simultaneously depending on your experience. But these are some of the assignments that I give to the students who want to learn how to write songs.
Right. So do most of your students meet the mark on what you're looking for?
Pardon?
Do most of your students meet the mark on what you're looking for as far as...
They're in the process, you know. A lot of them right now are using technology to actually make it easier. For example, they might sing a melody into their phone and then go to the piano and play the chords on the piano. So everybody's at a different stage. And then there are some students who just naturally write, and you go, how did you do that? And they go, I don't know.
Now, that's mysterious right there. I don't know.
When it gets down to it, it's this higher spirit that's guiding you sometimes, you know?
Wow. I could imagine that. Because if you're really, really into it, it's a gift anyway from God, like you said. And
yeah.
Sometimes
I mean,
it just
there's
comes
just
out
pe- some people who are just gifted, you know.
Right, right. I always wondered, because, you know, I've talked to a lot of jazz artists, and musicians, and they tell me it's just, you know, like you said, I don't know. When they explain it, they'll say, you know, sometimes, Taz, I wake up in the middle of the night and this melody be playing over and over in my head, and I have
right.
to put it down.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then I build around it. Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah, I know it's like that. But I also think there are techniques that can help you to be better, you know. So I think it's this kind of right brain sometimes and left brain sometimes. And I think everybody's different in the way that they do it,
right.
you know.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Everybody is different on different procedures on how to do it. I've been, like I said, I've been doing this show since 2004, and I've talked to over about 400 folks, and asked the same procedure on, you know, the essence of this question: how do you come up with, you know, your tracks? How do you, what is there a process you go through, or how do you do it, you know? And some people are almost close the way I do mine, but yet very far away and very far different from what I do. So I'm just amazed at the procedure.
That.
On everybody, and I'm always like, wow, I never thought of it that way, you know. So that's the essence, like you said, coming from a higher being. Sometimes
I think
yourself,
ultimately
I wonder how you got that.
That's the real answer, don't you think?
Yeah, that's the real, but I still like to hear what other people got, you know, the procedure. Sometimes the procedures might be the same, you know, a little bit, and a lot of people do say they have something in their head that they need to get out, and they're listening.
Right. That's really good too. I like that.
I've done that too, because I've had something in my head and I'm going, oh, I gotta put this, I gotta get it out of my head, you know. So to get
you.
Out of my head, I gotta release it or create it, and I'll be like, oh,
but you know, I know some people. I know some people who are opposite of that. They go sit at the piano and they wait. They just sit there and wait for it to come. And it's not in their head.
Really?
But they make the commitment to sit there and wait for it to come through.
I'm trying to think, out of the many people I've talked to, never heard that one.
It's like a writer, you know how they say writers will, if you really want to be a writer, you got to sit and write every day, even when you don't have anything to write, and you try to make the commitment to do that, and then sometimes things will come through, and at first when it comes through, you think, oh, that's no good, and then you go back 3 or 4 days later, and you go, I really like that.
I'm going to tell you, I write stories, and the process for me of creating, you know, stories, fiction, and just writing subject matter, not lyrics. Lyrics too. I got to sit there and think about it like maybe a day. You know what I mean? I think it, work it out in my head and go, oh, okay. And that's when I'm ready to put it down. That's how I do it all the time. I mean, I don't go in there. I don't know. I take that back as far as music concerned, because sometimes you can hear a beat. And then the lyrics will come after the after.
Exactly, it's a very rhythmic approach.
So sometimes, I mean, you know, sometimes it's different, and the process is kind of the same, but really never the same, you know?
Right,
there's always some aspect of it is different,
Well, the other thing is that when you write with other people, it's a different experience, too.
Oh, yeah, I've done that, too. But that's easier for me. That's easier to write with other people. It's easier for me. I don't know why, because we talk about
you're a team player. Like, some people are really team players, and when you're a team player, that's the perfect way to do it, you know?
Yeah. I've wrote with a few people, but mainly a lot of stuff that I've done with a lot of people, I wrote everything and I did the music too, and I came with it and gave it to them, and they're like, wow, how did you know? And I'm like, I don't know how I knew, man. But
I know what you mean.
I'd be looking at myself, I don't know. And like the kid that you got me saying, I don't know how I did.
Exactly. And that's such a true answer.
The song,
it really is.
Paradise.
Okay, Paradise. Let's see, Paradise. Paradise was one of the songs that I did where I actually went to Chris Davis's studio in Granby, Connecticut, and it actually started out one way and ended up another way, so it kind of had different periods of evolvement. And originally, I can't remember what he called it at first, but it ended up being called Paradise, and it does. It sounds like Paradise to me.
Wow. This is Paradise.
That's all
y'all.
I can say about it. Going on an island or something with the tropical trees,
right,
and the ocean breeze.
Yeah, I felt it too. I like that song. Still,
thank you.
Still funky to me. That's funky to me. To add my head moving and grooving. I want you to give the people exactly where they can listen, by connect with you?
How to connect with me? You can connect. First of all, the spelling of my name might be important. My name is spelled M-A-R-C-I-A. My last name is M-I-G-E-T, Marcia Maget. I do have a Facebook that's under Marcia Maget, Facebook, and I also have a website, which is www.mee-j.com, meej.com. And those are the two ways that are best to get connected.
And also you can get your projects, too, from there?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Okay. That's most important.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, you're welcome. The music speaks for itself. And like I said, anytime I hear something that I'm really, really loving, I try to reach out to that artist and get them on the show, because I love music as a passion, and I love creative people, which is another passion. So therefore, I had to have you on the show, especially after I heard that first joint I was listening to you. I was like, oh, yeah. And I went to the the hell with it. Let me get in contact with her right now. That's why I like the first two songs. I'm good. I'm good. And I'm really loving the music, too.
Thank you. And you do so much for so many other artists, so we really do appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And it's a good way for people to be heard, and that's the main thing.
We do need people like you,
And the people that was, that's friends with me, when they listen to this, they'll be like, I never heard of her before, but now I have. Oh, I might need to go and get that.
Right.
I would suggest you do.
Thank you.
The song Cruising.
Cruisin' just is, all I can say about Cruisin' is it was one of the best interactions that I had with the Chris Davis producer. He's just an amazing guy. He has produced so many amazing smooth jazz artists, and he's a brilliant musician. And this was my reconnection with him after many years of not seeing or playing with him, and it was just like it had been yesterday since we played together. So I would say this is really, really representative of how friends can get back together and play together after many years, and it feels like it was just yesterday.
Wow. Marcia Maget in the house, and make sure you get with her, because this is a bad lady indeed. Thank you for coming on the show. And the next project you come out with, make sure you
I'll let you know.
Back again.
Taz, I really appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you. For real. This is Cruising.